إحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني في قولي اللهم ارفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين Everyone, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to partake from this beautiful Dars of Tafsir. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to illuminate our hearts through the Quran. He take Ibn Afiyah and Shifa. He make this Dars a means of Shifa for ourselves and our families to cure those who are sick and weak in the world. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Just remind me at the end, we have requests for du'as. I want to make sure I remember to make du'a for some individuals. They ask for du'a after the halaqah inshallah. So last time we spoke about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and the extraordinary story that Allah presents. And we finished up in the ayah number 70, that they intended to plot against him, but we made them the greatest losers. And we'll speak about certain other things, inshallah. Just one last thing I wanted to mention about this story was that when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was about to be put into the fire, we find that the Prophet ﷺ does an interesting hadith narrated from him that the Prophet ﷺ said that he commanded to kill the lizards. وَقَالَ كَانَ يَنْفُخُ النَّارَ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَىٰ السَّلَامِ The Prophet ﷺ's hadith of Bukhari that the Prophet ﷺ commanded to kill lizards because they tried to blow or increase the fire. Every animal tried to take out the fire, and the lizard was the only one who tried to increase the fire. So the Prophet ﷺ commanded that we've never stopped fighting them ever since that, you know? And so that's something that I wanted to mention, not because of the hukum. Okay, don't go around like, okay, gonna go finish this lizard right now. You know, there's lizard people right here, you know? La ilaha illallah. And obviously there's a different, it's not the lizard you're thinking about. In Bangla, we call it the tik-tiki, right? It makes that tik-tik-tik sound. You might see them back home. They're just like on the walls. Those aren't the ones we're talking about. Actually, there's a specific like type, kind of like a gecko or salamander. So yeah, it's not every single one of them.
Like all those yellow ones.
Yeah, yeah. So, in any case, Aisha just have a spear at home for them. So you understand they're kind of big. They're not just like the small little things on your walls. Okay? My main point wasn't the hukum. Is that when you are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of the creation wants to help you. That's what we find from Ibrahim alayhi salam's story that we saw from before. The angels came to him and said, "Oh Ibrahim, we will take care of the fire." Well, the angels of the ocean came and said, "I will bring water from the ocean and I will douse this fire for you." Or the angel of the wind came and said, "Oh Ibrahim, I'll lift this fire into the air and take it away for you." Ibrahim says, "I don't need any of you people. I don't need anyone." The animals are trying to help out Ibrahim alayhi salam as well. So when a person is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what that means is all of creation is at your aid. All of creation is at your assistance. So after this entire incident, when Allah does save him from the fire, وَعَلَادُهُ بِهِ كَيْدًا فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَخْسَرِينَ They intended evil plots. Allah Ta'ala says it very generally because it wasn't the last thing that they did. They tried more things and more things and more things against Ibrahim alayhi salam. The fire was just one of many things that they plotted against him. They intended many things. Akeda, فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَخْسَرِينَ But after Allah Ta'ala saved Ibrahim alayhi salam from the fire, do you actually think that anyone else can touch Ibrahim alayhi salam? Never. No one's going to be able to touch this man because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him his divine protection. And they became the akhsareen. Allah Ta'ala says the worst losers. In this life they lost because they kept trying to fight a prophet of Allah, trying to fight against those who are calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They lost in this world. And the hereafter is even greater loss. The hereafter is even greater loss. We're not even talking about the fire of Jahannam or the day of judgment or anything like that. We're just seeing how embarrassing or how shameful it was for them that they thought they would put Ibrahim alayhi salam in a fire and they launched him in here. They stripped him completely, just had ropes on him. They throw him in the fire and they're thinking he's going to burn. The only thing that burned on him was the ropes that were on his body. He's just standing there and he's completely nourished and sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is the rahmah and barakah of Allah azza wa jal. And he reminds us over and over again throughout the Quran about the divine assistance. This divine help, when you are Allah Ta'ala's friend, when you finally connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what this means is Allah Ta'ala will help you from the ghaib. He will help you from the unseen in ways you could never ever imagine. Musa alayhi salam was helped, Ibrahim alayhi salam was helped. We just had two stories of prophets. Musa alayhi salam was helped because his entire nation was there. And the other one specifically for Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the Prophet alayhi salam is being told these two stories. We're looking at it in the section of Surah Al-Anbiya again. The story of Musa alayhi salam was very short. And the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam was very long. The reason why the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam was much longer was because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is where right now? Surah Al-Anbiya is a Makki surah. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in Makkah. Does he resemble Musa or does he resemble Ibrahim? He looks more like Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Allah said, "O Nabi alayhi salam, I'll tell you the story of Musa in short, and I'll tell you the story of Ibrahim in detail, because you are more close to Ibrahim alayhi salam right now." That's how the stories are related in the Quran. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi is being told indirectly, "O Nabi of Allah, you will one day be like Musa alayhi salam, with this huge nation behind him. But right now you're like Ibrahim alayhi salam in the beginning. But don't you think that Ibrahim alayhi salam, that being in that situation is any less blessed by Allah Ta'ala." First and foremost, we have to remember this, that Allah is telling the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, the same way Ibrahim alayhi salam planned so thoroughly, he planned every single step, he made sure there were strategies and techniques to make sure that these people can get the da'wah. We talked about it last time. He knew that if I break these statues, and if I place this axe on him, they will find out it's me, and they will call me in front of everyone, and they will put me in front of everyone, and then I will be able to speak in front of them. Then I'll tell them this, this, and this, and they'll have no response. He planned out the entire thing as if he was writing his own qadr, subhanAllah. This is how great Ibrahim alayhi salam's planning was. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told, O Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you need to plan. You need to make a system. You have to have an idea of what you're doing. In Makkah, in Manhattan, in Massachusetts, in whatever places start with M's, wherever we go in the world, whenever you see Muslims as minorities, they need to have plans. There has to be strategies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that there must be a plan here. Do not tell me that we've been living here for so long and there's no idea where Muslims are going to go 10 years in the future. We have to have an idea of what's going to happen. The same way Ibrahim alayhi salam was planning every single step throughout. May Allah give us that understanding and that ability, inshallah ta'ala. So now, as soon as that happened, Ibrahim alayhi salam could plan so much. He couldn't plan for the fire. But he did have something in his heart that he knew that I'll be fine. Because he knew even if they did the worst thing to me, I still have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you plan as much as you can, you do your best, and you leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what Ibrahim alayhi salam did here. So we find this, and doesn't mean again that Ibrahim alayhi salam was not any less. And you'll see this throughout the section we're going to go over. Today we're going to go over, let's see, how many prophets? We got Ishaq, Yaqub, Lut, Nuh, Dawood, Suleiman. We got an entire bank here, mashallah. We got work to do. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَلُوطًا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost says that don't think that Ibrahim alayhi salam was not extraordinary. Don't belittle him. Don't lower him in your eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we saved him and we saved Lut alayhi salam. Lut alayhi salam is the nephew of Ibrahim alayhi salam. It wasn't that Ibrahim alayhi salam was just by himself. Allah ta'ala says, no. He has a very, very blessed family. An extraordinary family. His nephew was a prophet, right? And along with that, what does he have? So let's just talk about Lut alayhi salam very briefly. And I think we have a really big issue in our ummah, and I'll talk about it once we get to that section. But we have to understand who Lut alayhi salam was. He was the first muhajir. He was the first muhajir. The first one to emigrate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He moved from one place to another. Ibrahim Lut alayhi salam was in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam going with him. Wherever Ibrahim alayhi salam would go, Lut alayhi salam would go too. He said, you are my uncle, you are a prophet, and mashallah Allah made him a prophet as well. So Lut alayhi salam is an extraordinary individual, an amazing individual. Keep that in mind, because we're going to come to that section. They moved towards the land of Sham. The land of Sham is the area where all the prophets alayhi salam, that it is the markaz, the center of all the prophets alayhi salam. This land is blessed. بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We blessed it in all the lands. We saved him and Lut, and we sent them towards the land of Sham. There's no doubt about this. This ayah is telling us something very important. That to the Prophet ﷺ, he's given indications. Throughout Makkah, he's given indications. The indication that you are a messenger like every other messenger. Messengers have to migrate. That's just part of the rule. Nuh alayhi salam migrated, Ibrahim alayhi salam migrated, Musa alayhi salam migrated, Lut alayhi salam migrated. Hijrah is a reality to all messengers, all rusul. So the Prophet ﷺ is being told something very deep in Makkah. O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you love Makkah so much. Even to the point, keep this in mind, the Prophet ﷺ absolutely loved the Kaaba so much that when he left Makkah finally, ultimately, he turned around, he stood at a hill and said, Ya Allah. He said, Oh Makkah, he started to call out to the city, saying, you are so beloved to me. If Allah didn't make me leave, I would never leave you. It's how beloved the Prophet ﷺ, you love your homeland. Who doesn't love their homeland? We all love it. You know, you tell me that New York smells and stinks and is dirty and gross, still the home of the rats. You know, what can I do, man? You know, that's what we love. We love the place where we come from. And the Prophet ﷺ loved Makkah. But you will have to leave it one day. But the rule is this: بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. O Prophet, the same way we made Sham so Mubarak and blessed, the same way we will make Medina so Mubarak and blessed. Don't worry about where you're going. That place, wherever your foot goes, alayhi salatu wasalam, will be blessed. It will be blessed. The same way we bless Sham, you have Medina waiting for you. And so the Prophet is told over and over about this reality throughout the Quran, about one day you're going to have to leave and you have to go to Medina. So now Ibrahim has Lut. He has a wife that's supporting him his entire life. He got married at such an early age to Sarah. But how long have they been married with one another? And there's no children coming. What would you say? What would our family say? Jadu lag gaya. Right? Jadu. We start saying, oh, it must be black magic. Something happened. Oh man, this girl is cursed. She doesn't get any children. We say such terrible, astaghfirullah, things about sisters when they can't have children, as if they have any control over it. Oh, she gave me daughter, she didn't give me son. What is wrong with us? Allah, you know, like Allah forgive all of us. Because we say such disgusting things. Look at Ibrahim, and look, and I want to remind everyone, your family is, first and foremost, is not your children. Your family, first and foremost, your ahl in Islam is your wife. You are a team. This is the asl. Husband and wife are the asl. The children that come are an addition. But the main is husband and wife. We don't think the wife is our own family. That's our problem here. She's not my teammate. She's just kind of like another woman that children come from her. Then my children are my kids, are my family. Wife is an addition. That's not how Islam understands it. Ibrahim and Sarah alayhi wasalam, no children for decades. For decades. Tens of years are going and there's no children. But they are a team, they are a family in Islam. That's how we need to understand it. Don't think of your wife as someone else. My children are main. La ilaha illallah, the wife is first. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is with this person for so long. And he has a great relationship with her. Even though there's no children. For years and years and years. But he's making dua every single day. You can imagine how painful it is. Ya Allah, I want a son. I want a child. I want someone. Ya Allah, I'm making dua. She's making dua. It's just not happening. Finally, he's like 120. She's like 80 years old. You know, it's such a so old they are. وَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقٍ. We gave him a gift of whom? Ishaq alayhi salam. Obviously he's at Ismail alayhi salam already. But he didn't have any children from Sarah alayhi salam. So now Allah Ta'ala says we gave him Ishaq. Wa Ya'qub. And then we gave him Ya'qub as a gift. And each one, wa kullan ja'alna salihin. We made all of them righteous. So he had no children his entire life. And then finally what happens is what? He prays and prays and prays. And ultimately Allah Ta'ala granted him what he wanted. Allah Ta'ala gave him Ishaq. But this is the thing when you ask Allah. When you ask Allah, it's never only what you asked Allah will give. Allah doesn't only give what you asked for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind, so what does He do? He gives you more than what you asked. He said, Ya Allah, I want a son. Allah says, Ibrahim, I'll give you a grandson too. وَجَعَلْنَاهُ وَيَعْقُوبَ نَافِلًا. We gave him as nafl, as a gift. The Arabic word for nafl is, in this ayah, the word for gift is nafl. When you pray nafl salah, and I want to remind everyone, when you pray nafl salah, what is the understanding of a Muslim? When you're praying nafl salah, this is your gift to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how we should understand nafl. People don't look at nafl and say, oh, what a burden. Oh, 2 rakat sunnah, I don't know if I can do it. Mawlana told me that Jumu'ah is 6 rakats after, I'm going to kill myself. I was praying 4, now I got to pray 6. Oh, forget it, I can't do it anymore. People start getting nervous, like, oh my God, it hurts so much, it pains me. Just one more minute, I can't do it. You know, like, it hurts. Because we didn't understand what nafl is. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah Ta'ala says that my slave continues to get close, that the most beloved thing to me is the fara'id. Allah Ta'ala says the most beloved thing to me are the fard prayers. وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبَّ. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet ﷺ said, my slave continues to do, Allah Ta'ala is saying, my slave continues to do nafl deeds, things of nafl, until I love him. Allah Ta'ala says, the way you get my muhabba, my love, is that you pray and give me gifts, and the gifts are nafl prayers. And nafl sadaqat and hasanat. And when you're doing nafl, mashallah, that's when you know you're giving gifts to Allah. So when you pray and you give sadaqah, be happy because saying, Ya Allah, I want this act, this nafl, this 2 rakats, that I earn your muhabba, that I earn your love. This is how you earn Allah Ta'ala's love. I give sadaqah, Ya Allah, I want your love this time. Ya Allah, I want your muhabba, because you just saw what Allah did to Ibrahim and Musa alayhi wasalam. May Allah make us like that, inshallah ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala tells Ibrahim alayhi salam, we gave you Ishaq, and this is my gift. From Ishaq, you're going to get Ya'qub alayhi salam. So what is the Prophet alayhi salam being told? He's reading the Quran. We're reading the Quran, and the Prophet alayhi salam is reading the Quran. When I read the Quran, and I just see it, oh, Allah saying Ishaq and then Ya'qub. When the Prophet alayhi salam is reading the Quran, he's not saying Ishaq and Ya'qub. He's saying Ismail alayhi salam. So now if the gift from Ibrahim alayhi salam, from Ishaq was Yaqub, if Ishaq's gift to Ibrahim alayhi salam was Yaqub, what is Ismail alayhi salam's gift to Ibrahim alayhi salam? It is Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. So Allah Ta'ala is telling Nabi alayhi salatu salam, O Prophet, they're making fun of you in Quraysh, from the Quraysh. They're slandering you and joking about you and laughing about you, saying you think you're a prophet. Couldn't Allah send someone else? Why, you know, you're such an unlettered person, you're a nobody in this community, and they're making so much fun of him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Slander and cursing and joking and mocking and so many istihza wa sakhran, and they're making fun of him, alayhi salatu wasalam. But the Prophet is being told, O Prophet, do not pay attention to what they are saying. You are special. Why are you special? Because Ismail alayhi salam's gift to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Father, I have an extraordinary gift for you. It is my great-great-great-great-great-grandson, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet is being told by Allah Ta'ala, don't belittle yourself. You are a special gift to Ibrahim alayhi salam as well. And now let's put it all together. If we see the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ali radiallahu anhu, you know, he said that you are anta bimanzilati Harun alayhi salam. That Ali radiallahu anhu was like Harun alayhi salam. Ali radiallahu anhu was like Harun alayhi salam. So if Musa alayhi salam had Harun alayhi salam, that the ayats are connected, right? Allah Ta'ala talked about Musa and Harun. So if Musa alayhi salam had Harun, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has Ali radiallahu anhu. If Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam had Lut alayhi salam, and Lut alayhi salam made hijrah, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has someone who also made hijrah twice, which is Uthman radiallahu anhu. So Allah is telling the Prophet alayhi salam, I mentioned four extraordinary people. You have four extraordinary people too. That the same way Nabi Musa had Harun, you have Ali. The same way Ibrahim alayhi salam had Lut, you have Uthman. The same way Ibrahim alayhi salam had Ishaq, you have Abu Bakr. And the same way Ibrahim alayhi salam had Yaqub, you have Umar radiallahu anhu. This is a great four people, mashallah, Allah Ta'ala mentions. And if you look at their relationships, I don't have time to connect it for you. You connect the dots. Allah is telling Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam an amazing story. And now the main point though of this ayah and this amazing part here is that you can have children, the connection for us as Muslims today. You can have children. وَكُلًّا جَعَلْنَا صَالِحِينَ Allah Ta'ala says that you can have children. But what happens is they may not be pious. They may not be religious. And every parent knows how much they love their kids. An undying and unbreakable love you have for your children. Such a feeling we have for our children. Thamratul qulub, thamratul fu'ad in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. They are the fruits of the heart, your children. You love them so much, and you care for them so much. We adore them. But what happens is what? If they're not pious or religious, what happens to our hearts now? There's such a feeling of the heart that, man, I wish my son could pray. My daughter, she's not doing Islamic things. She's not doing what she's supposed to do as a Muslimah. It hurts a lot. Parents just want to see their kids pray, and I remind children all over, if you're listening, just be a good guy and just pray your salah. That's all your mom and dad cares about. They want to see you be a namazi person, a person who prays their namaz on time. You know, they read the Quran, they want to see you as a good person. Because why? Because you can be connected with them in this world, but there are times where you'll find a time will come on the Day of Judgment where Allah will separate families. That the Muslims will be with the Muslims and the non-Muslims will be with the non-Muslims. It could be that my son and my daughter will not be a Muslim on that day. And then we brought in the side of the non-Muslims. May Allah protect us from that. The reality is there though, is that we care. We don't care about their Islam. We don't care about their Islam. We don't care if they're schooled or learned in Islam at all. Alright, he learned in his Sunday school. He learned how to read Quran. But does he love Quran? Does he love to read the book? Alright, I made him a hafiz of the Quran. But does he love to read the Quran every single day? Alright, I taught him how to pray. But does he pray? Does he do his salah? Does he give his zakat? Did I really raise him the right way? Does he love coming to the masjid? This is a great sign of a person's heart being connected to Islam. When they love coming to the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is when you've done your job. We love them so much, but don't deprive them of their eternal success. Their eternal success is greater than any temporary success. We'll spend thousands upon thousands of dollars. Make sure to get into the most refined college and university. Even if they have to go through riba and loans, haram interest, just so they can become a doctor, an engineer, a physician or whatever. We'll spend so much money on that. But we could not spend a little bit more just to send them to a proper madrasa, make sure they learn their Islamic education. Is that really what it is? We could sacrifice everything to make sure they go to those top-notch universities. But to make sure their deen was taught, we could not offer them 5 or 6 more hours in the week. We say what, two hours in Sunday school, 2 hours in Sunday school. And we don't send them, and the entire week they're going for their high school, their public education, which is getting worse and worse. These kids will tell you how bad it's getting. It gets worse and worse every single year. We have to be concerned about these things. So remember this, Allah tells us, that if Allah in the ayah says, we gave him Yaqub and, I'm sorry, Ishaq and Yaqub, alayhi as-salam, and we made them pious. It's not enough that they were just children. They have to be pious. All of them are religious. All of them are good people. وَكُلًّا جَعَلْنَا صَالِحِينَ. It's all about qualities here. And so Allah tells us that every single pious person, if you're a person who's actually striving and struggling for your Islam, you'll find Allah will give you falah. You will find success in every direction. When you find there's no way out, Allah will make a way out for you. Ibrahim thought, there was no way I can get children. Allah made him have children. When you find there's no one else for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for you. That's the understanding we're getting from these verses. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمَ إِمَّةً أَيَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا وَأُوحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَإِقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءَ الزَّكَاةِ وَكَانُوا لَنَا عَابِدِينَ. The next ayah reads so beautifully. It's not enough, Allah Ta'ala says, we made them pious. We also made them imams. To guide, يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. To guide under our command. Don't worry, my little rant about imams are coming in a second, okay? Because we have to talk about them too. Well, we made them imams. To guide under our command. And we inspired them to do good deeds. Establish salah, give zakah. وَكَانُوا لَنَا عَابِدِينَ. And they only worshipped us. Allah says, they only worship me alone. So this ayah here tells us a lot of things that about these people. Of Ishaq and Yaqub alayhi salam. And Lut alayhi salam as well. They're all under these ayat. That Allah says, we bless them all. They're all imams. To be an imam, what does it mean? You have to be righteous in yourself. You have to be salih in yourself. And you have to be able to make other people righteous too. That people are transformed by you. So Allah Ta'ala says, Ishaq and Yaqub and Lut alayhi salam are all righteous people, and they can make others righteous as well. That's what makes them imams. You know, but the last job and profession we think for our kids is what? Make them imams. Right? And I'm not saying myself is pious. You know, the condition here is obviously, Allah Ta'ala says that some imams aren't pious. يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. Ishaq and Yaqub, definitely pious. Don't worry about them. You know, not these individuals here. But the reality is this, that we don't even consider it as a profession for us. Sheikh Salah Al-Budayr, he mentioned one time that whenever we read the dua, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. Right? Allah grant us from our spouses and our children the coolness of our eyes. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And make us for the pious people as imams. But no one ever thinks, you know what, my kid has to become a Mawlana or Alima. So, no, that's like a bad job. It's not a good job. There's no success there. It's like haram, yani. No. You know, there's no money in it. Okay, I want to, you know, I'm not gonna lie about it. You know, mashallah, it's alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. Do we do it for money? How much will money stay? How much will money go? In life, what is it gonna be? What's gonna be on the day of judgment? We have such a big bank account. Imagine this: a person has such a big bank account, and then his total is like billions of dollars in his account. Subhanallah, amazing amount of money. On the day of judgment, Allah Ta'ala brings him, and his account is showed for his money. $50,000, let's just say. And you say, Ya Allah, what is this? I had billions of dollars. Allah will tell him, no, life isn't about what you had in your account, it's what you spent. So many people can have lots of money, but if they don't spend it in the right ways, it doesn't mean anything. So people can have lots of money, if you're not spending in sadaqah, then what is it? It's only what you spent is what's going to go with you. So Allah is telling us about these individuals, and about people in general, and just about imams. That look, it's not about these things or that thing. You know, if you want to make your kid an alim, so that you yourself, inshallah, as a parent, can be, you know what? I want to have the one of the greatest honors on the Day of Judgment. A hafiz has an enormous honor. Imagine that your child learn how to read Quran, translate Quran, give bayan about the Quran, to give tafsir about the Quran, learn hadith, study hadith his entire life. You know, people are spending, Imam Bukhari used to tell his students, he's saying that, don't worry, because people used to look down on the students at that time too. He said, don't worry, the people who are in business are involved in their business. They're playing with money all day. The people who are in manufacturing are busy with their manufacturing. The people in trade are busy in their trade. And your whole day is with Nabi Muhammad SAW and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Could you ask for a better job? No matter what people tell you in life, alhamdulillah, you're a happy person. You're so happy because of it. So each job is important, and this job is very important. They are imams that were sent to guide. And they were inspired to do all sorts of good deeds. They could do what? They established prayers to connect to Allah. And they give zakah to connect to mankind. Establishing salah means that you connect people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Giving zakah means that you connect people to, you connect mankind to yourself. That's why zakat is so important. Sometimes when it happens, when zakat time comes, people start to feel that pain of giving the zakat. That it feels like a tax, la ilaha illallah. It's not a tax. It is an honor. If you have more zakat, mashallah, Allah rewards you even more. Because that's going to a needy, a poor person, benefiting them directly.
Alhamdulillah, you're getting reward for it. You're getting ajr for it. Imagine that feeling, you know, on the day of Eid, that a child gets new clothes. Imagine now on the day of Eid, you gave zakat and now these people can buy new clothes for their children. How happy will they be? Don't look down on it. MashaAllah, you have thousands of dollars of zakat, that's thousands of dollars of sadaqat. Make dua, Allah accept it, mashaAllah. We are very rich people, alhamdulillah. Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the work of Ishaq, Yaqub, Ibrahim and Lut alayhi salam. Allah is telling us in this Quran that they were only worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing near shirk, ever. And I mention this because there is a lot of disgusting things written in the Bible and the Old Testament. And so we don't want to mention those things today. I mentioned them in other places, but this part about Lut alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam, they mention such disgusting things. So we'll get there in a minute or two. The Prophet ﷺ is being told, O Prophet of Islam, I gave Ibrahim Lut, I gave Ibrahim Ishaq, I gave him Ya'qub, I gave you your Khulafa al-Rashidin, I gave you such amazing people for you. You will find success. This deen will never die. The Prophet ﷺ was being worried that maybe deen will die here. Maybe it will fade, maybe it will get destroyed. The Prophet ﷺ is being told, don't worry about it. You will find the success at the end. Where Ibrahim a.s. was there alone, Allah's help was there. Allah gave him a family. O Prophet of Allah a.s., you will have a family too. You have extraordinary companions. They'll take care of your deen. Don't worry about it, mashallah. The protection of Allah is there for them. So now we come to the story of Lut a.s. and Nuh a.s. Lut a.s. and Nuh a.s. So we find in the Quran, we talked about this last time, that Allah Ta'ala in Surah Al-Anbiya mentions Musa a.s. first, and then Ibrahim a.s. second. And In the Surah Al-A'la, Allah Ta'ala mentions Suhufi Ibrahim wa Musa. So in Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah mentions Musa first and then Ibrahim alayhi salam second. In Surah Al-A'la, Allah Ta'ala mentions Ibrahim alayhi salam first and Musa alayhi salam second, right? So there's a flip in that surah. First in this one is Musa and then Ibrahim, and the other surah is Ibrahim then Musa. Similarly for Lut and Nuh alayhi salam. In this surah, Allah Ta'ala mentions Lut alayhi salam first, then Nuh alayhi salam. In Surah Al-Tahrim, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمْرَاتُ Nuh, وَمْرَاتُ Lut. So in this surah, Allah mentions Lut and Nuh first. In Surah Al-Tahrim, Allah Ta'ala mentions Nuh, then Lut. It's a flip of the... And this is something that you have to think about. How can a person, a single human being, plan this much to make sure their book is this finely tuned? It's very, very difficult. If you look more and more in the Quran, the way Allah has organized it, only a human being can think so far, right? Even Arabs at the time of the Prophet ﷺ could only think so far. The Quran is nightly, is so finely tuned from every single ayah and every single surah, every single letter is so fine tuned, mashallah. May Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. وَلُوطًا آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ تَعْمَلُ الْخَبَائِثِ إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا سَوْءٍ فَاسِقِينَ. And Lut alayhi salam, who we granted wisdom and knowledge, and we delivered him from the town that used to do such filthy deeds. إِنَّمْ كَانُوا قَوْمَ سَوْءٍ فَاسِقِينَ. They were the people of evil, such sinners they were, the people of Lut alayhi salam. So again, in the Bible, the Lut alayhi salam is a different person. When you talk about Lot to non-Muslims, to Christians and Jews, they have a different perception about Lut alayhi salam. It seems like in the Bible, if you read the Old Testament, if you read Genesis 13 and Genesis 19, where Lut alayhi salam's story is mentioned, it seems like they degrade Lut alayhi salam. They seem like they belittle Lut alayhi salam. It seems like he doesn't understand things. He doesn't seem to have knowledge. Waliyahzubillah. He doesn't seem like he has wisdom. So Allah then refutes them in the Quran and says, don't say my Lut doesn't have knowledge and wisdom. أَتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. We gave him knowledge and wisdom. Don't say he doesn't have knowledge and wisdom. He definitely has it. And so he makes the right decisions every single time. And so this is about the Jews and the Christians. But I want to ask everyone, you see kids that are named Ibrahim, you see kids that are named Ismail, Ishaq, Muhammad, right? We see the kids that are named Nuh, mashallah, we heard the other day. I was so happy about that, you know. Have you ever heard a child named Lut? Do we ever name our children Lut? Why? What's wrong? Is it a haram name? Is he not a prophet of Allah? Oh no, that's with because of Qawm Lut. What does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with anything? We have a problem here. We don't respect Lut alayhi salam. We connect him to his Qawm. We say, oh, he was in the Qawm. If I name my child Lut, then it's like, how could that be? You're naming your son or you're naming your child Lut after a Nabi. You know, he's a Nabi, a Muhajir. He made Hijrah. He was with Ibrahim alayhi salam. We legitimately, the same problem I told you about the Jews and Christians, we also have some kind of problem with ourselves. We think about, oh, it's Lut alayhi salam. Someone say, I'm a qawm Lut. Well, la ilaha illallah. How's that connected to one another? You know, we don't connect them to their prophet, to their communities. Musa alayhi salam was in Egypt. We say, oh, if you name it Moses or Musa, he's going to be connected to Fir'aun. No, you obviously the prophet is noble in himself. Oh, he'll be made fun of. So what? So what, mashallah? Allah will make him such an amazing person of hijrah, of migration, amazing stuff. I told my wife too, I said, if I get another son, his name Lut. Hands down, finished. I'm not doing this anymore. Because why? If you want to change something, you do it yourself, right? I was going to do Hud, but this name got taken in this community, so I gave up. Then I was going to do Nuh, also got taken. So I was like, man, this guy's beating me to every single name. You know? I've been trying, because I love, people are like, you want a unique name. I'm like, you haven't even scratched the surface of all the prophets out there. People always want some unique name, like Aleha or something like that. You know, like weird stuff like that. People just want some weird name. I'm like, you still have prophets to go through. You can go through them. MashaAllah, there are many prophets still. So Lut alayhi salam, he's been told in the Quran is having these amazing qualities. The Quran refutes all of that. Don't belittle Lut. Allah Ta'ala says he's from the Salihin. Knowledge and wisdom. We saved him from that community. And he has authority. As a hukum, he is a prophet. And knowledge, he has ilm. So much knowledge Lut alayhi salam has. Allah Ta'ala tells us that messengers are sent to the mothers of cities. Ummul Qura. Makkah is the mother of all cities, right? And so Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent to Makkah. Lut alayhi salam sent to Sadum, the area of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he goes there and gives proper dawah. The way the Bible makes it sound is as if Lut alayhi salam was just saying, alright, I'm going to take my sheep there. As if he was just moving there to do business or something like that. The Quran makes it clear. We sent him there as a messenger. He is sent as a messenger with a message. Oh people, you're doing the most horrendous and disgusting things. They're doing acts of homosexuality. They're doing things this is called in the Quran, قَوْمَ سَوْءٍ فَاسِقِينَ. A nation of complete evil. You're talking about Makkah, you're talking about Manhattan is bad. People say Manhattan is bad. Or this city is bad. Or this city is bad. Or this people they drink and stuff like that. Allah Ta'ala says the worst nation of all time is Sodom. Now you have the most disgusting, the most filthy people. Are you going to send someone who's low ranked? Someone who's a little weak? Someone who's not strong? Are you going to send someone there to give dawah? You're going to send the strongest person that you have. If you're going to send someone inside the clubs to give dawah, you're going to give the strongest da'i you have. Allah sends Nabi Lut alayhi salam to the area of Sodom. Sodom and Gomorrah. You want a kid to become a da'i? Name him Lut. See what kind of barakah that has in his life. Because he's going to be strong. His iman will be firm. Lut alayhi salam is a firm Nabi. He goes there and tells everyone, this homosexuality is haram. Imagine that, in our time, to go in these areas, go to anywhere in the world, and right now, because of what people are spreading now, go and tell them this is haram. It's not okay. He's going in the streets and telling them. Going to their homes and knocking on doors and telling them. The same way Nuh alayhi salam was, Lut alayhi salam is like that too. He's going around and telling people, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. It's all haram. And he makes it very clear to them. So and he tells them, you all are misguided people, you know. He's hitting them hard. Lut alayhi salam is an amazing prophet. And I always wanted to give a biography about him because we don't respect him enough. I don't have enough time to go through it. But I just want to clarify one thing. Because you guys, because of the internet age and TED Talks and all these things, we have a lot of Muslims that would say that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah weren't doing homosexuality. They weren't having like, you know, male-male relationships or female-female relationships. No, no, no. Their sin was rape. They'll say this. Okay? And I'm only mentioning this to make sure it's clear. Because, you know, if you've got to learn, at least learn from your local neighborhood imam sahab, you know. He might as well teach you something right now. So some people, you'll see this on TED Talks, you'll see this all over. It's become so am. And I just worry that one day your children will be affected by it. So Allah will protect us all and give us tawfiq. So some will say that their sin was rape. That they were just raping each other. I already tell you that already sounds like a problem in itself. I'm not going to go through the comedy of it. But inshallah, let's just look at what the Quran says. Okay, so that way we're clear. I normally don't go to other ayat of the Quran. When I talk about a surah, I want to talk about the surah. Because I think the surah has so much to give you already. If you start talking about other places in the Quran, we're going to miss so many things. Right? The surah itself. But I just want to show you from Surah Al-A'raf. وَلُوطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهَا تَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. And when we said Lut alayhi salam in Surah Al-A'raf, when he said to his people, do you commit such immorality as no one has preceded you from among all the worlds? He says, have you committed such a guna, such a sin that no one has done before you? إِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ شَهْوَةً مِنْ دُونِ النِّسَانِ. Indeed, you approach men with desire instead of women. Okay? So what the modern Muslim guy is trying to tell you, he's like, no, this is about rape. So
about rape. Okay, okay. All right, let's read the ayah then. You approach man with desire instead of woman. So he says the word desire here means with rape. Okay? What does the ayah then mean? You approach man instead of woman. So what is Allah Ta'ala then saying? If the ayah is saying that it's about rape, you approach men with desire instead of women, meaning that you shouldn't be raping men, you should be raping... You see how that doesn't work? That doesn't work. The ayah is clearly saying something else. And they don't want to admit it. But I just showed you from the ayah itself how that doesn't make sense. So don't let anyone trip you up. Okay, I only mentioned this as a side point because I just want to make that clear. I want to make it firmly clear about what the sin was. You can hate the sin. You can hate the sin, but you can respect the individual. That's what we do with everything in life. There are people, Muslims, who commit sins all the time, myself included. We're all sinners. But we respect each other. We love each other. That's what we do, right? So I can disagree with you. I can say you're doing wrong, but I can still like you. Right? I'm not homophobic. How am I scared of you? I'm not scared of you. Like, you think I'll fight you right now? No, like, I'm not scared. Like, we'll square up. You know, la ilaha illallah. Who's scared of who? You know, I'm not scared. Whenever anyone asks me this question, like, oh, you guys, you know, you hate gay people and stuff. I'm like, no. I like you as a person. MashaAllah, I like you a lot. Alhamdulillah. I want you to have hidayah in Islam. I don't like what you're doing, right? And if they tell me that, no, you hate us. I'm like, do you like what I'm doing? As a Muslim, do you like what I'm doing? You know, I got a beard. I wear a turban. Do you like this stuff? They're like, no, I don't like it. Don't you? Well, astaghfirullah, come on. I thought you're supposed to love me, you know? Come on. But can you respect me? Can you disagree with me but respect me? I can disagree with and respect you all the time. So don't let, if they ever trip you up, just say that, do you respect me as a Muslim? I put my wife in a bag and stuff, you know? Do you like that stuff? And they'll say, no, we don't. I'm like, come on, free country, freedom of speech, you know, whatever. Of course, my wife does it because she wants to, okay? Relax. Okay. We saved him. Allah Ta'ala says, we saved Lut alayhi salam. That Allah Ta'ala tells us about, وَدَخَلْنَاهُ فِي رَحْمَتِنَا. We entered him to our mercy, إِنَّهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. We admitted him to our mercy. He was indeed one of the righteous. Don't think anything less about Lut alayhi salam. Never, wallahi. Allah Ta'ala defends his prophets in the Quran. Never think anything less of him. The Jews and Christians belittled and degraded him. You as Muslims do not degrade him. When he's mentioned, you say alayhi salam. He's a man Allah Ta'ala sent peace on. He's a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala mentions it multiple times. Then Allah tells us about Nuhan and about Nuh, إِذْ نَادَى مِنْ قَبْلُ, that he calls from way back when. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ, we responded to him. فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ, and we saved him and his family from the terrible agony. مِنَ الْكَرْبِ الْعَظِيمِ. The word karb in Arabic is the highest level of sadness. When you're talking about depression and anxiety, the highest level of that in Arabic is called karb. What did the Arabs say the word karb is used for? When a person is awwalul gharq, when a person is starting to drown. When a person starts to drown, how's that experience of drowning? The worst, the absolute worst. That's Karb al-Azim. Allah Ta'ala says Nuh alayhi salam was going through the worst levels of depression. But he still continued to give da'wah. Because you can imagine generation after generation of giving da'wah and no one is listening to your message. How sad would the da'i become? How troubled would he become? How much pain will be in his heart? But Allah Ta'ala says Nuh woke up every single day to go and give da'wah again. He never stopped giving the message of Islam. So Allah Ta'ala says, we saved him. When Nuh alayhi salam made dua, we saved him. We saved him. We saved him. We saved him. وَنَصَرْنَاهُ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. We saved him. We helped him against the people who rejected our signs. They were also evil people. فَأَغْرَقْنَاهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. We drowned them all. We drowned them all. We saved him. We saved Nuh. We saved Ibrahim. We saved Musa. We saved Harun. All these prophets, Allah Ta'ala says, we saved all of them. Oh Nabi alayhi salam, do you think I'm going to leave you alone? Do you honestly think that all Muslims in America, do you think your Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave you alone? You're worshipping Him, you're praying to Him, you're making dua to Him. You think Allah will leave you alone? Allah Ta'ala will take care of you. Through His divine assistance, Allah Ta'ala will take care of you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flips the script entirely. We've been talking about saving prophets. We've talked about a specific order here. And I don't think anyone has this problem here. But I think that this is a question on people's minds. We weren't going in historical order through the prophets. We started with which prophet? Musa. Then we talked about Harun, then we talked about Ibrahim, then we jumped to Lut, then we jumped to Nuh, right? We're jumping all over the place, right? And now we're going to jump to Dawud and Sulaiman. And in your mind, it might come up that, why is it not in order? People ask this question all the time. They want it to be in order. They're thinking that it's not in order. You wanted a story after story, like historical record, just like how insan writes, like human beings write. Human beings write what? Beginning, middle, and end. But you have to think about this, okay? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is time? Is Allah restricted in time? Does he flow through time? No. Beginning, middle, and end are irrelevant to Allah. to Allah Ta'ala, the Day of Judgment already happened. It's happening, and it's what is time? So I want you all to think about something. When a human being writes, he writes in a tartib. The same way the Bible is written. That it starts with Adam, then it goes to this and this and this and this. It seems almost man-made. It seems man-made. And if you want proof about this, look about creation. Let's look around the world. Let's look around the world. Let's look at the gardens that are out there. Or let's look at a forest. There are flowers, right? There are trees. There are insects. There are bugs. There are animals. They're all over the place. Right? There are so many things that are happening in a forest. It's an amazing experience, right? When you go in a garden, it's absolutely beautiful. Is there order there? Does everything work together? Everything does work together. Everything goes right hand in hand. If you take away an animal from there, the ecosystem's destroyed. Same thing with plants and bugs and everything. Everything works together. Even though you might not see a grid, there's no grids and lines, right? You don't see any lines there. You're like, but it does make sense. And people used to complain about Muslim countries. You might wonder about your countries themselves, right? Muslim countries, they don't really have grids, right? They're not like streets like, you know, okay, this is street one, street two, street three. There's like, okay, there's a house right there, there's a dukan right there, there's a store right there. It's all over the place, right? And there's a reason for that. Don't think, oh, the European came and he modernized us, or he taught us how to make order and grids. That's not what happened. Muslims just saw that Allah's design is like this. That Allah places things all over and it all makes sense, it all works together. Similarly, our countries, you know, Ajib, like, subhanAllah, because we're born and raised in America, right? We do ABCD DSCs, right? Right. So we go back home and we start to say, like, astaghfirullah, look at, there's no lights here. There's no stoplight, red light, green light, no lights, right? It just, you know, you go, say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, subhanAllah, you're making dua because you have no idea what's going to happen, right? You have no idea. You might turn the street and there's like, what's crossing the street? There's like a cow, there's a donkey, there's a guy with a bicycle, there's a rickshaw, there's a this and that. There's so many things happening at one time. It's so chaotic. And then I was looking at it with my Western eyes, like, these people are so immodern, they're not modern, they're so backwards and everything. Then I saw that, you know, living there for some time, I realized, no. Everyone understands how to do this. There is an order here. There is a system here. What is artificial? What is robotic? Make lines, make roads, make this and this. When people actually just organize by themselves, and this is the thing, the number of accidents, think about it. How many accidents are in America versus how many accidents are back home? There's something there. You know, when you just let people naturally just drive and just be normal, something is there. Allah's divine protection is there because you're just letting things become natural. I'm not saying not to have lights and stuff. I like them, okay? I'm just saying that I see something very beautiful there. That they just matched how creation is. Creation, you can't say that the street is on block A and the B is on block B. No, it works the way it works. Look at the stars. Let's look up at the stars. They look so scattered. But what is there? There are constellations. There is a system there. There is a tartib. There's a nizam. So I would expect that the person that wrote the book of creation, when he writes the book for divine guidance, they should look the same. Does that make sense? The same way creation seems like there's this here and this here and this here and this here, and it seems like it's all over the place, but it works together. Similarly, in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's going to mention 50 different things, but they all work together. That's the way you would think a divine book should look. So when people say this is the sign of the divine book, when they say the Bible is the word of God, I'll say, no, it looks like a human book. Because a human will write like this. When I look at the Quran, I say, no, this is exactly what Allah would write like. Because there is some fine thread, a very detailed thread that links all the stories together. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He links all these stories the same way I was telling you about them. It could be, and what is the point here? The point is that to the Quraysh, that they don't like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They don't like the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They think that he is making fun of the forefathers. He is the greatest of all Prophets alaihi wasallam. Right? There's no order in him. There's no tartib in him. But can it be that some Prophets have better virtue than other Prophets? Can it be that certain Prophets have virtue versus others? Can Musa alaihi wasallam have a fadila versus Ibrahim alaihi wasallam? Can Lut alayhi salam have a virtue over Nuh alayhi salam? Can Nuh alayhi salam have a virtue over other prophets? Every prophet is special. Every prophet is special. It could be that a son of a prophet might be better than his father. It's true, right? You heard the story of Ibrahim and Ishaq. Yaqub alayhi salam has 12 sons. Yusuf alayhi salam is an amazing son. He has so much more superiority in that regard compared to Yaqub alayhi salam. So Allah Ta'ala says there's no order in this. So why do you want me to put them in order? Because prophets should be understood for them. Look at the individual. Study the individual. Live the individual. Don't put it in an order here. That's artificial. That's broken. And that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ coming all the way at the end for the Quraysh. You think he's not the most special? No, he's the most special.
He's the most virtuous. There's nothing wrong in that. So what does Allah do? He gives you the story of how a son can be superior to his father. So Allah says, if you don't believe me, I'm going to give you Dawood wa Sulaiman. So Allah literally connects it. Wa Dawood wa Sulaiman idh yahkumani fil house. When Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salam were deciding about, they were giving a judgment based on these crops. What happens is, there was a situation where goats of other people came in and wandered in the night. They trampled and destroyed all the crops. They came and destroyed all the crops. Now Dawood is a qadi. Sulaiman alayhi salam is a qadi. They start giving their decisions. They are both judges. They give their decisions. So Dawood alayhi salam says that in order to replace the crops, the goats that destroyed the crops had to be given to the farmer or the one who used to have the crops. Dawood alayhi salam's hukum was this. Sulaiman alayhi salam looks at the situation and says, Father, I disagree. Father, I disagree. I think that something else should be done. So what is it, son? He says, I think that it's better that the goats be given for a certain amount of time. Until the farm is restored to what it was, give the goats in lieu of that, until that time happens. So until the crops get back to where they were, let the farmer use the goats instead. And then finally, when the crops are back to normal, let him have his goats back. So Sulaiman alayhi salam gave this decision, Dawood alayhi salam gave this decision, Allah ta'ala comes in the middle and says, Sulaiman is right. فَفَحَّمْنَاهَا Sulaiman. We gave understanding to Sulaiman alayhi salam. We gave understanding to Sulaiman alayhi salam. And to me, and one of the greatest prophets is Sulaiman alayhi salam. He to me is like the top dinosaur. He is the guy that, I'm telling you, as a young person. As a young man living in America, trying to make it the best, trying to be as make it as Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos out there. We're trying our best to make as much money as we can. You know, mashallah, we're trying our best. We're trying our best to become the most successful individual because we love it. You know, we're in this society, right? That's what we love. I'm telling you, the prophet for you is Sulaiman, alayhi salam. This man is the man who had everything, and he showed you how to have everything and still be a good worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa taala. فَفَهَّمْنَاهَا Sulaiman. We gave understanding to Sulaiman. وَكُلًّا آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. But we gave knowledge to everyone. So don't think less of Dawood alayhi salam. We gave knowledge to both of them. Don't think that while Sulaiman has a greater virtue than Dawood, he's greater than Dawood. How can a son ever be greater than his father? Come on, guys. A father is always greater. He's always superior than his father, than his son. But the idea is that Dawood alayhi salam has a special virtue. He has a special virtue. Same with Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a leader of the Anbiya alayhi salam. And so he has a special virtue. He's something greater. Don't think less of Dawood. وَسَخَّرْنَا مَعَ دَاوُودَ الْجِبَالِ Allah says, don't think less of my Dawood alayhi salam. We made the mountains. We said, mountains, submit to Dawood. Whenever Dawood reads the Zabur, you go with Dawood. You go with Dawood. وَسَخَّرْنَا دَاوُودَ مَعَ دَاوُودَ الْجِبَالِ وَالطَّيْرِ And the birds, they go with Dawood alayhi salam. Wherever Dawood alayhi salam recites his Zabur, these things are reciting with him. So Allah decides though. This is Allah's decision. So prophets are never supposed to be disrespected. This is the main thing here. The powerful mountains and the gentle birds, the small birds, Allah Ta'ala has an impact on everything. Dawood alayhi salam has such command over the world, the mountains start moving for him. Dawood alayhi salam has such command over the world, the birds start flowing to him and they start saying tasbih. Imagine this, that you're walking down the street and subhanAllah, like the mountain starts talking to you. Bare mountains start saying, subhanAllah, bihamdihi, subhanAllah, jazim, la ilaha illallah. You'd be like, my God, what is happening right now? What is happening right now? You know, like you have a heart attack. This was a normal thing for Dawood alayhi salam. And this happened to the Prophet alayhi salam. When the Prophet was about to receive his prophethood, the trees and the stones started giving salam to him. Assalamu alaikum ya Rasulullah, they used to say. The Prophet used to turn around and say, where? There's no one here. And then he hear it again from the tree and then he start running. He's so frightened and scared by it. This is the honor that Allah gives to these prophets. We taught him, وَعَلَّمْنَا صَنَعْتَ نَبُوسٍ لَكُمْ لِتُحْسِنَكُمْ مِنْ بَأْسِكُمْ Just 5 minutes, inshallah, we'll be done, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan for sitting and entertaining me while I talk about how much I love these prophets. And so we taught Dawood alayhi salam the skill of making armor. Can we turn on the mic again, inshallah? Yeah, we taught him the skill of making armor for as a dress for you to protect you from harm. لِتُحْسِنَكُمْ مِنْ بَأْسِكُمْ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ شَاكِرُونَ Are you grateful then? Allah Ta'ala says, this prophet we gave him, that you disrespect Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if you only were to think about what prophets give you so much. They talk about Idris alayhi salam, about how much he's done for the world. Writing came from him, astronomy came from him. So many things came from Ibrahim Idris alayhi salam, they say. When it comes to Dawood alayhi salam, what did he give them? The way to make armor so they can fight each other. So they can fight each other on the battlefield, to protect each other, protect them from each other. So now if prophets are so good, they make so many great things. What about Nabi Muhammad alayhi salam? Quraysh, you should be so honored and happy. Why won't you be grateful for these prophets? Why won't you be happy about them? As Muslims, be grateful for the Quran and Sharia. You have a way of life. You know how to wash yourself in the bathroom. For God's sakes, these non-Muslims are just now figuring out that you can use water. We had this discovery, amazing discovery 1400 years ago. Oh, we're backwards. Who's been using water for so long and they just realized, oh, we can use a bidet and start using water. Even our apparatus is better than theirs. They want to shoot up as far as they can go. Our one, at least you can at least control how much water is coming, you know? Like, la ilaha illallah. Be grateful for Islam. Be grateful for Islam. Wali Sulaiman al-Rih, if you thought Dawood was extraordinary, mountains and birds, Sulaiman al-Islam is even more extraordinary. We gave him the winds. Al-Sifatan. Allah Ta'ala says they are violent winds. They are tremendous winds, tornadoes, gusts, tempests, everything. That tajri bi amrihi. They flow wherever Sulaiman wants. The tornadoes will go wherever he wants. And it will go to the land where we place our blessings, to Sham, the area of Syria and Lebanon and Jordan, in that area that's so mubarak. Allah bless that area and restore it to its beautiful, pristine form again. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa kunna alimeen. And we knew everything Sulaiman al-Islam was doing. Winds like tempests are flowing like they mentioned in the books. Sulaiman al-Islam will put down a huge raft, like a whole bunch of wind, a whole bunch of wooden pieces down. And he would tie them together. And then he would come onto the raft. And then he would tell his army to come on. It's on the land, right? It's on the land. He put his army there. He put his jinns there. He put everyone there. He said, alright everyone, get ready for takeoff. This is Air Sulaiman. This is a good name for a sneaker. Maybe one of you guys want to take it. Okay, just joking. Okay, don't put his name there, okay? Make a symbol. Okay, just missing. It's what? He says, everyone ready for takeoff. And then he flies off. He just says, ya Allah, send the winds. And the winds come and they take him. And in a month's journey will be done in the morning. A month's journey will be done in the evening. Literally, it's the planes that you and I ride on today. We're like, whoa, so sophisticated. Sulaiman al-Islam had it back then. Sulaiman al-Islam had it back then. This is Sulaiman al-Islam. The center is always is Sham, Baytul Muqaddas, and the area of Quds, right? And the Prophet is being told the center will always be Medina. Don't worry, Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It will always be Medina. Wa min ash-shayateen, Allah says, I gave him the winds, and I gave him the shaitans. Who will dive into the water. وَيَعْمَلُونَ عَمَلًا دُونَ ذَلِكَ And they do other jobs besides that. And this ayah is so profound to me, it blew my mind. Because jinns are made out of what? They're made out of fire. And Sulaiman says, go where? Go in the water. If you think cats are afraid of water, imagine how much jinns are afraid of water. And Sulaiman has such control over them, he says, go in the water, get me all my diamonds and pearls and rubies and sapphires and everything in the water. They go in straight in because why? How much control he had. This man, you're talking about people in this world, they have billions of dollars. Nothing compared to Sulaiman. Nothing compared to Sulaiman. Alayhi salam. Such an extraordinary individual. Thanking Allah Ta'ala for every single moment. They're so beloved to Allah that they never miss their tahajjud. They're so beloved to Allah. You know, when they miss something in the day, they sacrifice all their wealth. This is how Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salam were. You have money in this world, mashallah. Congratulations. Show Allah Ta'ala how much you love Him for that. Thank Him by praying 2 rakats every day. Be like Sulaiman and Dawood alayhi salam. And the final thing is the story that we see that the wind, the earth, the fire, the water are all under their control. So much power they have. So much power they have. If you do right with it, if you're thinking, how will I get the world too? If you do right with it, if you become a good person, Allah will give you the dunya. He gave it to Sahaba. He said, take it. Do whatever you want with it. They did whatever they want with it. They did the best things in the world. If you become a good person, Allah will give you dunya. But if you're not a good person, then don't expect it from him. Because a Muslim wouldn't need dunya anyways. He wouldn't need maal, because it won't benefit him. When a Muslim has maal, a true Muslim has maal, he only does sadaqat and hasanat. That's his entire life. So be a good person, you'll see what Allah will give you. So the prophets were given every worldly assistance. And then there's a prophet with nothing at all. Allah talks about Dawood and Sulaiman who have the world. Then Allah talks about Ayyub. It's beautiful contrast. Beautiful contrast. And this is what you find in the Quran. Beautiful things like this. Allah says, Dawood and Sulaiman have everything. I'll give you a prophet who has nothing now. Ayyub alayhi salam. When he calls his Lord, he says, Anni masani ad-dur. Allah, I've been hit with so much affliction. My family, my wealth, my health, everything is gone, ya Allah. I don't have anything anymore. But I still believe in you. He calls Allah and says, Allah, I have such pain. And this is how you make dua. I told you about how to make dua, right? We all make dua, Allah. I want gadi, ya Allah. I want house, ya Allah. I want wife, ya Allah. That's what kind of duas are those? Those are such weak duas. Make a dua, man. Ask Allah. Beg to Him. Cry to Him. Make dua. Make dua like Ayyub alayhi salam. Ya Allah, here I am afflicted with pain. And you are the most merciful of those who have mercy. Allah, you told me you are Arhamur Rahimeen. You told me who you are. This is how you make dua. What is the dua here he's saying? Allah, everyone else in the world will show kindness to me. If you saw Ayyub alayhi salam like that, what would you do? Would you help him? You would help him, I would help him, my mother will help him. Anyone would help Ayyub alayhi salam. Allah, you told me you're Rahman. You are so kind. You, Allah, you're supposed to help me. How is everyone else in the world going to help me? You're not going to help me, ya Allah. You don't think this is disrespectful. Allah likes to be told who He is. When you remind someone in the world about, oh, you're a doctor, and you're an engineer, you're a physician, you're a Mawlana, you should help me out. People don't like that. Why are you talking about this, man? I'm going to slap you. Come over here, you know? Like, I'll get mad. What Allah has told you, Rahman Rahim, and you said you're Rahman Rahim, you said you're Ghafur Rahim. Allah loves it because He loves to show you, yes, yes, I am like that. So when Ayyub alayhi salam makes dua, he said, ya Allah, everyone in the world will have mercy for me. Allah, you won't have mercy on me? So Allah says, of course, Ayyub. Who do you think? What do you think? So we remember this. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ We answered him. فَكَشَفْنَا بَابِهِ بِالدُّرِ We took away all the pain. Everything. We opened up the waters for him. He went in there. His body got recovered. He healed completely back to normal. He came back to his wife and said, I'm looking for my husband, Ayyub. Have you seen him? He says, oh wife, I'm Ayyub. She said, don't play with me right now. This is a dying man. Don't mess around. I need to find my husband. He said, no, no. Allah has restored me to my health. Then Allah gives him another house, gives him children, gives him spouses, gives him everything. Allah gave him everything that he wanted. رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا وَذِكْرَى لِلْعَابِدِينَ The final thing. He says, we gave him as a mercy from our side and a reminder for anyone who worships Allah Ta'ala. Allah says, it's a reminder for us. He says, when you worship Allah, you think Allah's not going to help you? It might take some time because Allah looks for the best chance to give you it, but Allah's going to help you the same way He helped Ayyub alayhi salam. May Allah give us tawfiq and understanding and hidayah. Allah also appreciate these stories of the Anbiya alayhi salam. I apologize again, I went a little bit over time. We just have some du'as for Brother Uwais. He mentioned that one of his family members is very sick. May Allah give her shifa kamil ajila, return her back to health and bring her back home safely, inshallah. And his parents are returning back on Sunday. May Allah return them back safely, inshallah. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.